Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. Hallelujah, most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we come on this morning, Father God, with a grateful heart and an attitude of gratitude to say thank you for giving us one more day to serve, one more day to live, one more day to give, one more day to receive, one more day to embrace, one more day to refrain from embracing, one more day, Father. And this day is a gift. Time is so precious. And so, Father God, we thank you for it. We open up our hearts. We embrace new mercies this morning and the gifts of this day. And we thank you for it. And now we surrender the day back over to you, Father, that you will unfold this day according to your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So we love you. We magnify you. And we praise you. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to keep on keeping on, to keep on keeping on, Father. Hallelujah. We say thank you for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. May you and you alone be glorified in our services today. May your people be edified and Satan is already horrified and Jesus Christ is the Lord and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and that Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father. Now, as you taught your disciples to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Wow, don't feel like we ever went anywhere, did it? Boy, the 24 hours go so quick, but we thank God for 24 hours. We thank God for every hour, the 60 minutes that comprise an hour. Amen. Glory to 60 seconds that comprise a minute. Amen. We are just so grateful. And in all things, we give God praise and glory and honor. Amen. Welcome to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries with Jesus Christ is the Lord. Have a seat at the breakfast table. Amen. The first time we call you a visitor, the second time we call you family and call you friends. Amen. Breakfast is about to be served. It's a spiritual breakfast. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, you're more satisfied with a spiritual meal than a natural meal because man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Amen. And he anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. I'm your host on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda. Amen. Of the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries and located in the Philadelphia region. Amen. Glory be to God. Actually, our home base is actually Glenside. Amen. Pennsylvania. But that's just a hop and a skip and a jump from Philadelphia. Amen. But amen. We come with a global ministry. And our mission is to rise up a nation of radical and successful believers. Amen. Giving God praise, glory, and all the honor. All right, all right. It's going to be a good day. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Amen. God's name is great, and God's name is greatly to be praised. So it's going to be a good day. Expect it. Amen. Expect to receive. Amen. When you believe and expect to receive, you will not be disappointed. Amen. Because God does not disappoint anyone. Amen. He is true to his word. Amen. He is not a man and he is not a liar. Amen. We bless God. All right. We were so blessed on yesterday. So blessed on yesterday. Amen. With the sharing on Brother Silas. Amen. That was, if you missed yesterday, you want to pull yesterday's up. Amen. Listen to the replay. Amen. And we want to thank God, amen, for our minister Priscilla out of Philadelphia who came. And glory be to God. And you know what? And if she was not available today, it would have been okay, because I understand people got things to do. And we would just kept it moving. But you know what? I don't know what if she had to clear a schedule or what. But she is here back again today at our request. Amen. And so we want to thank God for her. Amen. And what she has prepared, the meal, the spiritual meal that she has prepared. Amen. To give to us today. Amen. So we are excited to hear. Amen. So if this is your first time with us, amen, please grab a pencil. Amen. Some paper. Take some notes. Amen. So you can go back and meditate. Amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So at this time, amen, I want to introduce to some and present to others, amen, our minister Priscilla out of Philadelphia. Amen. That we might receive her this morning for her grace and for her abilities. Amen. God bless you and good morning. Minister Priscilla, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Apostle, I am here.
Thank you.
And good morning.
Good morning. And thank you for being here. Glory be to God. God bless you. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen. And we're going to give you the floor. Amen. And the floor is yours.
Thank you. And I just want to, first of all, give thanks and praise to God. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to speak, to share your word, Father God, that you have shared just in your book, Lord God. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love your word, Lord God. I just love delving into your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that it may bless me and direct my path, Lord God, but also that it may be a blessing to someone else as I walk along the way, Lord God. So I just give thanks and praise to you, Father God, you alone. Oh, Father God, you are so worthy of praise, of honor, and glory in the marvelous and matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Pastor Apostle Bradford, I'm just grateful to be the pinch hitter today, and that things worked out so that I could. So whoever was scheduled to be make their presentation today on Men of the Bible, I praise God for you and the fact that you. That I'm able to fill in for you, and I ask that God will bless you mightily. We did Silas yesterday, and my assignment I'll share again with everyone. My assignment was when Pastor said that I was assigned to speak on Men of the Bible. She gave me three different persons to speak on, and that was Silas, Demas, and Balaam. And so we all know them all because we've read about them. But like I said, you know, we read but then we study. I have been taught that when we study God's word, I study from the perspective of the historic perspective, the contemporary perspective of the word, and then from an introspective or how this applies to me personally. So I say that we can find ourselves in most of God's word, because we are all human, and these men that the Lord God Almighty chose and assigned, He chose to use their gifts. They were just humans. They were in the natural as we were, and some were stronger spiritually than others. But they were just human like us. So anyway, we're going to, since I pulled everybody at the same time, and we did Silas yesterday, and we know that Silas was basically a faithful brother, in the ministry, in that early church. And so Demas, we're talking about Demas today, and Demas also was in that early church. And Paul refers to him as a fellow worker. We see Demas, Paul referring to him when he lists the workers with Mark and Luke and many others. You find Demas as one of those workers. So here we have Demas had at one time been one of Paul's fellow workers in the gospel ministry, along with Mark, Luke, and others. And we find that in Philemon 1:24, and in Colossians and so he's mentioned several times through the epistles. During Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Demas was also in Rome. There's also biblical evidence that Demas was with Paul during Paul's second imprisonment. And we know that in that second imprisonment, Silas was actually imprisoned with Paul. So he was with him in that second imprisonment. But the narrative says that was for a while, and it does not say exactly what happened, but it suggests that something happened, and during that time, we can surmise whatever that something was. But Demas forsook Paul, abandoned the ministry, and left town. Paul wrote about the sad situation that Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. And we find that in 2 Timothy 4:10. The Greek word used in the original implies that Demas had not merely left Paul, but had left him in a lurch. That is, Demas had abandoned Paul in a time of need. Now, we know that many of us have experienced and certainly I have experienced many times that, you're forging forward, or you're in a situation and you know that, you have this, your family, your friends or whomever, you look back. I know that in our organizing, we do this great work to organize, and we look back and you just kind of on your own, you're the lone ranger, and everyone else is not there to hold you up. So Demas had abandoned Paul in a time of need. The apostle was in prison. He was facing a death sentence, and that's when Demas chose to set sail. Undoubtedly, Paul was deeply let down by Demas. It's never easy to see a friend and associate in whom you've placed your trust forsake you in the midst of hardship. The separation caused by Demas' desertion of Paul was not merely spatial, but spiritual. Demas left Rome because he fell in love with the world. In other words, Demas chose the corrupt value system of the unsaved world over what heaven values. As in the NLT translate, as the NLT translates it, So that's the New Living Translation, translates it. Demas loves the things of this life. That's in 2 Timothy 4:10. And I think we'll just go ahead and take a look at that here. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So it wasn't only Demas had left in that particular time, but a few others. So we don't know the details of Demas' situation, but it is evident that Demas decided that what Satan has to offer in this life is better than what God has to offer in the next. Much can be said in support of the view that Demas, in love with the present world, was never truly a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Paul makes a sharp contrast in 2 Timothy 4:8 and in verse 10. In verse 8, Paul speaks of those who love the Lord. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to all who have loved his appearing. Demas, in contrast to those who loved Jesus' return, loved the present world. That's verse 10. And also in 1 John 2:15 is clear about the spiritual state of those who love the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Nowhere in the Bible does it read of the restoration of Demas. The tragedy of Demas is still being lived out today by those who choose the temporary benefits of this world over the eternal riches of heaven. Today, there are still those who seem to receive the word, but then the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's Matthew 13:22. Past service is no guarantee of future faithfulness. Past service is no guarantee of future faithfulness. We must depend on the Lord, our strength. That's Psalm 28:8. We must be born again. That's John 3:3. Otherwise, we have no foundation in truth. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. That's 1 John 2:19 and Matthew 7:22-23. So that's Demas, and the lesson that I would extract, or that I did, is the fact that Demas was there. He was a worker. He was with the early church as they moved about and as they developed churches in that time period that started in Jerusalem, and then we see it in Philippi and Corinth and Galatia and all the churches. But maybe when that prison piece was a little bit much for Demas, and he considered belonging to Christ, as often people will say, I got to get myself together, I can't do that, or it doesn't take all that, or whatever, for whatever reason, but the what the world has to offer seems to be alluring, and we see that even today. When Demas jumped ship, if you will, it was because it seemed as though, you know, just all that was that it was the cost. I think Diedrich Bonhoeffer talks about the cost of following Christ seemed to be too much for him, and we see that even today. That's Demas, and it looks like Pastor, I'll do a time check. Should I proceed with this Balaam, is Demas adequate for today?
Demas, you said a whole lot there. that is a full presentation. I don't know what you have prepared on Balaam. I don't know what you have before you, but you can let the Spirit lead you, but what you have presented is a full presentation. But, you know,
all
if
right.
you,
well, I'll,
you,
I'll,
you, you still
I'll
have be... about 15 minutes on the clock, so if you desire to use
it. Oh, all right. Well, everybody take a breath. Take a deep breath, and we'll just proceed and get this done because it's all relevant.
Amen.
It's all relevant and it's all interrelated.
All right,
so
wonderful.
Now, we're gonna move on to my third man of the Bible that was in my assignment, and that is Balaam. Balaam was a wicked prophet in the Bible. And it's noteworthy because although he was a wicked prophet, he was not a false prophet. He was a wicked prophet, but not a false prophet. That is, Balaam did hear from God, and God did give him some true prophecies to speak. However, Balaam's heart was not right with God, and eventually he showed his true colors by betraying Israel and leading them astray. In Numbers 22, chapters 22 through 24, we find the story about Balaam and the king of Moab, a man called Balak. King Balak wanted to weaken the children of Israel who on their way to Canaan had moved in on his territory. Balak sent for Balaam, the prophet, who lived in Mesopotamia along the Euphrates River, that's in number in 22:5, and asked him to curse Israel in exchange for a reward. Balaam was apparently willing to do this, but said he needed God's permission. That's in verse 8. Balaam, of course, had no power in himself to curse Israel, but if God were willing to curse Israel, Balaam would be rewarded through Balak and promoted to a high honor. This is what the promise was. So God told Balaam, you must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. That's in verse 12. King Balak then sent, when he sent the first group. Then he sent other officials, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. That's in verse 16, promising a handsome reward. Time God said, okay, go with them, but do only what I tell you. That's in verse 20. The next morning, Balaam, we know the story, Balaam and the donkey. Balaam saddled his donkey and left for Moab. That's in Numbers 22:21. God sent an angel to oppose Balaam on the way. The donkey Balaam was riding could see the angel, but Balaam could not. And when the donkey three times moved to avoid the angel, Balaam was angry with him and beat him. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. That's in verse 28. We know the story. And it rebuked the prophet for the beatings. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw that it was an angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. That's in verse 31. The angel told Balaam that he certainly would have killed Balaam had not the donkey spared his life. Ironically, a dumb beast had more wisdom than God's prophet. The angel then repeated to Balaam the instruction that he was only to speak what God told him to speak concerning the Hebrews. That's in verses 33-35. In Moab, King Balak took the prophet Balaam up to a high place called Bamoth Baal and told him to curse the Israelites. That's in verse 22-47. Balaam first offered 14 sacrifices on 7 altars and met with the Lord. That's Numbers 23:1-5. Then he declared the message God gave him, a blessing on Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? That's verse 8. So King Balak was upset with Balaam that Balaam had not pronounced a blessing on Israel rather than a curse. But he had him try again, this time from the top of Pisgah. That's in 23:14. Balaam sacrificed another 14 animals and met with the Lord. When he faced Israel, Balaam again spoke a blessing. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Then King Balak told Balaam that if he was going to keep blessing Israel, it was better for him to just shut up. That's Numbers 23:25. But the king decided to try one more time, taking Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. That's verse 28. Again, Balaam offered 14 animals and 7 newly built altars. Then the Spirit of God came on him and spoke his message. That's Numbers 24:2-3. The third message was not what the Moabite king wanted to hear. And the message was, how beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling places, Israel. That's verse 5. Balaam's 3 prophecies of blessings on Israel infuriated the king of Moab, who told the prophet to go home with no reward. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Before he left, Balaam reminded the king that he had said from the very beginning he could only say what God told him to say. Then he gave the king 4 more prophecies, gratis. In the 4th prophecy, Balaam foretold the Messiah, a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel, he will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Seth. Balaam's 7 prophecies were 7 blessings on God's people. It was God's enemies who were cursed. However, later on, Balaam figured out a way to get his reward. So from the beginning, we see that Balaam was enticed to go and do what Balak wanted. Because of the reward that he was going to get. So anyway, Balaam advised the Moabites on how to entice the people of Israel with prostitutes and idolatry. He could not curse Israel directly, so he came up with a plan for Israel to bring curses among themselves. Balak followed Balaam's advice, and Israel fell into sin, worshiping Baal Peor and committing fornication with the Midianite women. For this God plagued them, and 24,000 men died. That's Numbers 25:1-9, Deuteronomy 23:3-6. Balaam's name and story became infamous, and he is referred to several times in the New Testament. Peter compares false teachers to Balaam, who loved the wages of wickedness. That's 2 Peter 2:15. Jude echoes this sentiment, associating Balaam with the selling of one's soul for financial gain. Finally, Jesus speaks of Balaam when he warns the churches in Pergamum of their sin. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. That's Revelation 2:14. Satan's tactics have not changed all that much. If he cannot curse God's people directly, he will try the backdoor approach. And idolatry and sexual immorality are his go-to temptations. So just briefly, what is the doctrine of Balaam? In Revelation 24:14, the church of Pergamum is scolded for tolerating the teaching of Balaam, or the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam, a prophet from Mesopotamia, was willing to use his God-given talent. He had gifts from God, and he was willing to use them for illicit purposes. Even though he knew Balak was God's enemy, he tried to sell his prophetic gifts to help him. When that didn't work, Balaam counseled Balak in the most effective way to weaken Israel. This is through seduction, using Moabite and Midianite women to tempt the Israelites into sexual relationships and into pagan rituals. The Israelites who participated brought God's judgment upon themselves. The Israelites who participated brought God's judgment upon themselves. According to 2 Peter 2:15, Balaam's way is a choice to promote falsehood for financial reasons. According to Jude 1:1, Balaam's error was his willingness to accommodate pagan beliefs out of greed. That's Jude 1:4. Also refers to the sin of those who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality. One trait of false teachers in the church is that they attempt to turn God's liberty into freedom to be promiscuous. That's Romans 14, 1-5. Putting these ideas together gives a clear view of the doctrine of Balaam. It is the attitude that one can fully cooperate with the world and still serve God. Yeah. The doctrine of Balaam teaches compromise, wanting Christians to forget they are called to be separate and holy. That's Leviticus 20:28 and 1 Peter 1:2. The doctrine of Balaam makes believers indistinguishable from the unbelieving world. The doctrine of Balaam is a belief that a little sin doesn't hurt, especially if there's some financial or personal benefit in it. That's 1 Timothy 6:5. A person following the doctrine of Balaam is willing to compromise his beliefs for the sake of economics. He acts to enable sinful behaviors for personal gain or even participate in them. In practical terms, the teaching of the doctrine of Balaam is the view that Christians can or even should compromise their convictions for the sake of popularity, money, sexual gratification, or personal gain. It's the attitude that treats sin as no big deal. Christians can't and shouldn't totally shun the presence of sinners or unbelievers. That's Luke 7:34 and 1 Corinthians 5:9-12. But we are obligated to stand up for the truth. That's Ephesians 4:25. Righteousness, Proverbs 23:20. Romans 14:22, and goodness, 2 Peter 1:5, and Matthew 5:16, whether it's what others want to hear or not. John 4:16, John 8:8-11, and Acts 24:24-25. So that's Balaam. And by the way, I think I also read that during the one of the wars, I think maybe with the Midianites, but Balaam ended up being killed by the sword along with the Moabites. So that is my reading, on the three. That concludes my reading on the three men of the Bible that I was assigned: Silas, Demas, and Balaam. And the thread that goes through is that all of them had gifts. God had blessed them. God was using them in the early church with Silas and Demas, and in the Old Testament, Balaam. But you know how they used the gifts to be faithful. There was a faithful brother. There was the one who deserted, and then the one that was the sellout. And as I said, I always look to see where I am in that whole mix. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Pastor Apostle Bradford, for allowing me to speak this morning.
Amen. 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 Bravo, bravo, bravo. We want to thank God for you, sister. Amen. And you know what? I didn't even see the connection with these three men. You know, I didn't really take it there. I just did what the Lord told me to do. But and looking at the notes here, okay, the last one you shared with us was Balaam. Okay, he was a compromise. He compromised the word. He was a wicked man, but not false. His heart was not right with God. And so we find out a lot. Oh my God, that you said so much there. You can't curse who the Lord has blessed. No way, no shape, no form. And then, but he found a way for God's people to curse themselves, which is the only way we fall under the curse, is if we choose to, because God does not curse us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we see this wicked man, okay, who compromised, okay, then. In the middle here, we have Demas, okay, who started out good, so to speak, as far as we know, as far as Paul know, fellow worker, but he forsook Paul. He abandoned the ministry right at the time when Paul needed him the most. He bailed out, left town, fell in love with the world. My God, my God, my God. So either he was never saved and couldn't fake it no more, or as we shared this morning on our 5 o'clock service, amen, he got weary in well-doing. He got weary. He fell in love with the world. So he did. And then we back it up to Silas. Okay, so we go from wicked, amen, extremely wicked, to the lukewarm brother, amen, and then Silas, who was a true example, faithful to the end, faithful in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. And so there we go, beloved. Where do you want to find yourself? You want to be like Balaam, compromising with the world? A little sin is okay. It's okay. You just do a little bit of sin. I know some people, they repent before they sin. They say, Lord, I'm going to do this week, but I'm going to ask you to forgive me right now. Okay. You want to be like Balaam, okay? A compromising the word, compromising your Christianity, okay? Or do you find yourself like Demas? Right when God is counting on you the most, you can't be found. You missing in action. MIA, missing in that. Why? Because you fell in love with the world. The Bible talks about the sower and the seed, okay? And you just didn't there. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. The devil mm-hmm. got to you, and you fell. You fell, and you didn't come back. We didn't find no way with demons mm-hmm. even came back. You fell, and you didn't even, you did run well. Who did hinder you? They said, we talked about that this morning, mm-hmm. that persistence hanging in there. But then we see it in Silas. Silas had the persistence. He endured mm-hmm. to the end. You said something very interesting. I wrote it down, and because this is what we talked about this morning on our 5 o'clock service. You said your past service is no guarantee mm-hmm. of future faith.
Mm-hmm.
Very eloquent put, very well put. Well, lovey, there you go. There you go. Now you choose. You choose. Mm-hmm. You can follow after either mm-hmm. one of these men. They each have a story. They each have a story. Mm-hmm. You choose. You could be hot. But here we see, I'm finished. Okay, God said he'd rather you be hot or cold. Okay, lukewarm, he's going to spit you up. Demas was lukewarm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Silas was hot. Balaam was cold.
mm-hmm.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God already mm-hmm. made his choice, but he chose you. Now you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You did it, you did it, you did it. Sister Priscilla tied it all in. Amen. And we just want to thank God for the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. And an awesome presentation. Beloved, you choose. The choice is yours. Mm-hmm. The consequences belong to God. God's not going to make you be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to make you live like Silas. He's not going to, amen, entice you to live like Balaam. Amen. Or demons. You mm-hmm. choose. He said, choose you this day whom mm-hmm. you will serve. It's your choice. But just remember
mm-hmm.
that the wages of sin
mm-hmm.
is death. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Awesome. 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 God bless you. Amen. Sister Priscilla, thank you for stepping in. Amen. Thank you for home run. Thank you for a home run. And thank you for your spirit of excellence and a wonderful presentation. Amen. On these three men of God. These three men. They were all God creation. We all know where nobody ended up but Silas. That's the only one we can talk on. We ain't touching the other two. I put it this way, like my grandmother used to say, and sometimes we wonder who's going to be going to heaven, who's going to be in hell, who's going to heaven. And Pastor Westfield said, I tell you what, you just strive to get to heaven. And when you get there, if you don't see them there, you know they didn't make it. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And any last remarks? Amen. Any announcements? Because we know you are a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a leader.
Yes.
All right. So take the floor and take another minute or two and share your announcement.
Oh, okay. So this is really important in the city of Philadelphia, the tax assessments are going on, and they're going to come out. So I just want to alert everyone to the fact that there are different initiatives through the city of Philadelphia, through the Department of Revenue. We bought Vicki Riley in last night to share information, and there's a lot of information. We sometimes tend to suffer in silence, but there's help there. These new assessments are incredible because we know that all the developers that are coming in, they get their 10-year abatements on their projects and all that. And so, who picks up the tab, you know? And then also, you know, as all the development is going on, the property values around those developments go up. So the assessments are going on, but I'm just going to share two important things that homeowners need to be aware of. And one is the homestead exemption. If you do not have the homestead exemption, everybody, regardless to your income, can qualify for the homestead exemption. And I understand that City Council just passed that allowance that's up to that exemption is going up to 80,000 now. So that will help with these new assessments that are going up. There's some are up to $1,000 or more than $1,000 more in taxes, in your real estate taxes. The other one is the for elders. You can get a freeze. If you're over 65, you can get a freeze on your taxes that they will stay at the place where they are at this time. So that's my burning announcement. Thank you for reminding me to say it, Apostle Bradford, because there's some relief, even with the water department. So check out the revenue department with those helps that are out there to help homeowners. This is for homeowners, but even if you're a renter in a property, I think duplexes, if there's an owner in the duplex, it may benefit anyway. So anyway, that's my announcement. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you for remembering to share that. So saints, amen. So check it out, amen, with the Philadelphia Tax Department, Water Department. I guess, would you happen to have a direct, maybe for some people that need a little assistance, would you have a telephone number? Or should they just call the 215?
I don't have, the 686 number. The city of Philadelphia, but if you have your cell phone or your computer, is www.phila.gov. www.phila.gov.
Phila.gov. That's P-H-I-L-A. Phila.
Phila.
I was telling them. Phila.gov. Amen.
Yes, and just go to the Department of Revenue. And all of that should be up there. The applications should be online. You can do them online. But that homestead exemption is available for everyone who is a homeowner.
That's the precious
information.
No income
requirement.
Precious information. God's people perish for lack of knowledge. This information here is right under the word. The word was the most important thing, and now we have information here on your taxes, amen, your water. Precious information, precious information, all right? So be proactive and do your part,
mm-hmm.
All right?
Wonderful. Yeah, they even have ways to deal with if you're delinquent. So don't suffer in silence and in fear. There's all kinds of initiatives to help. I know we complain that the government don't do the do-do and don't do who don't do all that, but there's a whole lot of help out there.
There's a whole lot of help, but you have to want it and make yourself available. So God says the same thing. It's a whole lot of help, but you got to want it and make yourself available. Now the city of Philadelphia is saying the same thing. It's a whole lot of help out there, but you got to want it. You got to reach for it. All right? In Jesus' name. God bless you, my sister. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. What a service on today. Amen. Beloved, God. Amen. All right. I'm finished. I'm finished. Amen. I just want to share this scripture here because Sister Priscilla, because she done started something. Wait a minute. Let me pull it out. Wait a minute. Because this ties right into your presentation today. Okay. So, let me find it. I think this is it. Okay. Yep. This is it. Here we go. Right here. This ties it up. This wraps it up. This wraps up our service today. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23, and it says, "In the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly." I want you to focus on the word wholly. And he says, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here we see today, beloved, amen, we got our spirit. We have our spiritual meal. amen, on these three men. And since then she came with important information for Philadelphia homeowners so that you could be whole in the physical realm, amen, and retaining your real estate, minimizing expenses. See, God is concerned about every area of our lives, not just our spirit, see, but we prosper as our soul prospers. But God is concerned about your finances, your relationships, amen, everything that pertains to you, your real estate taxes, your water bill, and your utilities. God is concerned about all of that, all of that, amen. So don't be so spiritual that we're no earthly good. Amen. Investigate it. All right. And then tell Sister Priscilla thank you for sharing the information. Mm-hmm. Some of you didn't know until she made this announcement. But, all right. All right. Help your people out, your family, your friends. Let them know. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, sister. We love you and we appreciate you. Amen. And thank you for a wonderful, wonderful
presentation.
And thank you. Thank you for your love. I feel it. And I love you, too. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, saints. Amen. That's it for today. Amen. Today at 12 o'clock, we will be meeting at the altar of prayer. We ask that you will come and bring somebody with you. If you don't bring them physically, just bring them in the spirit. Put their name on the altar. Amen. Let us pray for them. Why? Because prayer changes people and people change things. Amen. And then at 9 o'clock tonight is the praise party. Hallelujah. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Bring your own praise. Amen. And we'll be there tonight, Lord's willing, and we'll be praying, we'll be singing, we'll be testifying, we'll be reading, amen, whatever you bring to the party, you bring in your own praise. Amen. And so we're going to do that tonight. Amen. Our Minister Joanne Thurman is in charge of that. Amen. And she's doing a wonderful job. Amen. So come on. Come on. You ain't doing nothing that much. Amen. Even if you can't stay the whole time, just come on. Stop in. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we bless the Lord. All right. So those are the announcements for today. Amen. Lord's willing, we will be back tomorrow morning. Amen. Same time, place, and station here at 6 a.m. Amen. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. To lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Father God, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we're contrasting these three men from one extreme to the other. One man, Father God, just faithful and righteous, and the other man just extremely wicked. Extremely weak. One man who didn't compromise, another man who did. Then we had a demons in the middle, Father God. And we see ourselves. We see ourselves. Father God, if we're not where we're supposed to be, help us. Help us to help ourselves. Give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness that we might want better, do better, Father. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Help us to remember, Father God, hallelujah, that our past service is no guarantee for future faithfulness. And we can't bank on what we did yesterday, but you want to know what are we doing today. Father God, help us to help ourselves. And we say thank you. Thank you for Minister Priscilla. Thank you for her coming back 2 days back to back. Father God, glory be to God. Have this woman in trade. Now she knows what it feels like to be a pastor every day, on post. Father, bless her for her sacrifice. Bless her, Father God. Bless her for pouring in. Thank you for her due diligence in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask for your blessings upon everybody under the sound of my voice today as we go out. Father God, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow. We cancel premature death, incidents, accidents, and calamities. We say not so. No plague will come nigh our dwelling. In Jesus' name, Father, because we are hidden in your under the shadow of your might and your power. And we say thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now to him, meet us, Father God, at 12 o'clock and meet us back at 9 o'clock, Father God. We ask that you anoint the prayer warrior for the 12 o'clock. Anoint our host, Father God, for the 9 o'clock, and anoint everybody in participation. Those who desire to be with us and can't, Father God, and those who don't desire but need to be there anyhow. Father God, may you and you alone be glorified and magnified and praised. Now to him who is able to keep us from falling, today is offering day here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries. I always forget about the offering because the offering is not important to me, but the offering is needed, and the offering is important to God. Amen. So he has to remind me to ask, amen, not to bring money into the ministry, but to get a blessing back to you. Amen. And so today is offering day here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministry. If you're listening, amen, you can cash app us at $LifeWordJesus, L-I-F-E, Life Word Jesus. Amen. That's our cash app. Amen. You can go to our website at lifewordjesus.org. Hit the donate button, lifewordjesus.org. Hit the donate button there. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 461, P.O. Box 461, Glenside, Pennsylvania, G-L-E-N-S-I-D-E, Pennsylvania, 19038. 19038. Amen. God bless you for your faithfulness, sowing into the word. Amen. And we pray, Father God, we thank you for the faithful giving of your people, Father God, sowing into the rich soil of this ministry, maintaining this ministry, Father God, preparing us, Father God, for the next big major move. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask this, Father God, that you were blessed. The tithes, bless the offerings, bless the donations, bless the giver. Bless the giver, Father God, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Father God, that the money will be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom and the tearing down of the stronghold of sin. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, your majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Everybody have a beautiful day, a beautiful powerhouse, miraculous day. We are looking forward to hearing from you at 9 o'clock tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. With your testimony. So many testimonies coming in. Well, we don't know who to put up first. Amen. Glory. But we're going to give everybody an opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. We're believing it. Amen. Hallelujah. That you're coming forth with a fresh testimony on today, sharing what the Lord has done for you. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Alfreda, Philadelphia. Amen. Signing out. Love you. 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 Love you.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope.